Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
My name's Georgie Courage-Cole, and welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast. This week, I'm joined by Laura Black, Charlotte Collins, and Maya Lucky. So let's talk about Topshop and their bridal wear launch, because there's a real trend at the moment for high street brands launching bridal wear.
Yeah, they're popping up everywhere.
People like Phase 8 have launched... Mm-hmm. ASOS,
Debenhams, Dorothy Perkins, even.
Have they launched yet?
Yeah, they're about to launch.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. And I think it all started with Self Portrait, didn't it? Because, you know, they've obviously had the most phenomenal success in the last few years, and such success with such great price points.
Yeah, I think Needle and Thread as well really helped. Those two were on their support there, they were affordable, and then it really kind of started a trend going, didn't they?
And Reformation, the amazing US label that, in fact, I've just been to New York this weekend and I went to the Reformation store and how my husband was like, are you kidding me? The queue, the changing rooms. I was like, yeah, get a coffee and come back. Anyway, he came back and I still wasn't in the changing room.
No.
But obviously Reformation is one of the most successful brands to come out of the US recently. And there's a waiting list or something for their wedding dresses?
Yes, but it sold out in like seconds. They launched a bridal collection last week and it was like a total sellout.
Okay.
Yeah, super popular.
So Topshop have launched bridal wear, and I think it's really nice.
I thought it was really nice. I was really pleasantly surprised.
Any pieces that stood out for you?
There was like, I know it's not sort of conventional, but there's slightly blush coloured maxi that I thought they styled really beautifully.
Yeah, they did.
I love that for the brides, and then the bridesmaids, they did this floral maxi.
Yeah.
Again, quite Reformation
with the ruffles.
With the ruffles,
so nice,
and I just loved it, and such a good price point.
And would you buy a wedding dress on the high street, Charlotte? Are you going to be the next engaged Sherlock's
member? I'll stop it. would I? Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. There are some really, really good pieces coming out of the high street right now. So yeah, I mean, why not?
And Topshop have launched a bridal personal shopping service, which I thought was a smart move, because obviously for lots of us, buying your wedding dress, going shopping for your wedding dress is one of the most exciting parts about getting engaged, no?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I didn't love it.
I know, really, why?
I don't know, I hated trying, being forced to try on dresses I knew I didn't want to try on. Mm. I knew I wouldn't like them. I hated basically being in just my pants and heels all day. And I don't know if it's because I'm small and they never fitted me properly when they were pinned, but I just didn't enjoy it.
Also, I think that's the beauty of an online collection as well. Like, obviously you can buy it in store as well, but the fact that you can just see it, it's there, you know what you like, you know what you don't like, it eliminates a lot of the
you
crap.
You can send links to your friends. I don't know. If I was doing it, I would buy on the high street, because I kind of feel a bit sick about how much I spent on my
own. I know, I mean, that's, one of the main thing really is the price, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think brands like Alice Templey have really changed the bridal fashion landscape, haven't they? From these, you know, away from these sort of bulky
meringue-like
dresses to be something that's, you know, more contemporary and, you know, a bit more natural. So we're big fans of the Beauty Blender, but there's a new product that apparently is a lot better, a lot more hygienic, a lot more cost-effective, because it doesn't soak up the ingredients, that is now the new beauty tool to use. It's called the Makeup Drop, and apparently they're selling 20 units every 60 seconds in the States.
So when I saw these sort of coming out earlier in the year, not this particular brand, just versions of the silicone makeup applicator, I was really sceptical, because I saw these Instagram videos of people using strange things around the house, taking the mick out of them to put their makeup on. Did you see them?
No.
Like, it was hilarious, like a boiled egg to put your makeup on.
It does look a bit like what I imagine a breast implant to look like.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, it does. Feels a bit extraordinary.
But actually, I've just felt it. I hadn't felt it before, and I just asked Tor if I could see it. It's much thicker than I thought it would be.
Yes.
It's not, I don't know, I was kind of a bit surprised by the
how squidgy it is.
Yeah.
But it's really smooth and it's really clever. And we were doing a video last week and I was trying it out on my hand and I put way too much product on it. And I think that's one of its selling points, is that you don't need loads of product, whereas a sponge soaks it all up. This doesn't soak anything up. But what's different is you have to really pat it onto your skin. But in doing so, it gives you this amazing kind of flawless complexion. Apparently Natalie Portman is a fan. She's got incredible skin. But anyway, I put it on my hand and honestly, it really looked incredible and really smooth.
Like, I can't imagine how how can you dab like around your nose and like your eyes?
Because it's got a point. So it's like a drop.
So you use that like in the corners.
Yeah, so you use that around, you know, around the creases of your nose, into your eyes.
Okay.
But anyway, I think the fact that it's selling so many in the US is testament to the fact that it's really good.
It must be working,
And you do just wash it clean afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. Really cool. Yeah, it's hygienic.
Yeah.
It doesn't harbour all bacteria like beauty pens do.
But anyway, the main thing to think about is not to use too much product. And if you want a real sort of airbrush finish, then I think it's definitely worth a try. Let's talk about rentable party houses. So my husband is going to be 40 next year and we keep wondering what we should do for his 40th. Should we do a party? Should we go on holiday? Or should we maybe rent a house? And we did this amazing roundup of rentable party houses that sleep anything from 10 to, I think, 50 people. What do you think? Would that be a great party?
So I'm staying at one for a hen in a few weeks. I've actually stayed there before and it's just, it's in Balham, it's in London, so it's not got the same kind of country vibe as a lot of these, but it's sleeps 16. They've got a similar one in Streatham that sleeps 18.
Owned by the same people?
Same people own it, and they're just these beautiful white girly palaces. They've got gardens, and I just think it's the best way to entertain everybody.
And what does it cost to rent it for the week?
So it's £1,600 for one night, this one that I'm staying in. So I mean, if it was
£1,600.
So that 16 people is £100 a night, which I think is pretty good value, particularly for a kind of grown-up hen. And it's great. I've been on hens where you're in hotels, or that kind of thing where you're in hotels, and you're so separate and there's no kind of communal area.
Yeah.
And having a kitchen, a lounge, all of that, where everyone can chill and be together is so much nicer.
And is there a website? What's this one called?
Yes, do you know? I'll have to find out.
Okay.
Can't remember.
We'll put it in a link.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a brilliant idea. And as you say, I love the fact, you know, when you have a one-off party, it's over so quickly. The idea that you can spend the whole weekend together, you could arrive on a Friday, have a chill Friday night, and then have a bigger dinner, have like a black tie dinner on a Saturday, I think it's really appealing. But, you know, and as you say, the cost, it's just way better than staying in a hotel. You can obviously get a cook and do your own food and wines. I think that's really appealing.
Yeah.
There's one on here that I thought looked amazing that I just wanted to pull out, which was No Man's Fort, which is Hampshire.
It's basically in the middle of the Solent. And
it's round, isn't it?
It's round. It looks awesome. Sort of quite nautical inside, I guess, for the bedrooms. But you can have dinner. I think, actually, you can even just go for lunch if you don't want to rent the
whole thing. So you don't have to rent the whole thing. You can just go on your own.
I think you can go as sort of a day trip that involves a boat there. Because, obviously, you've got to get there. And then lunch, and then the trip back.
But is it a hotel? So can you just go for a night?
I think you can just go for a night, but I think you can rent.
It says 22 luxury bedrooms and a lighthouse penthouse suite.
I mean, that seems 44 guests.
That would be amazing. I mean, that's expensive. That's £12,000 for 44 guests.
But it's always on Secret Escapes.
Is it?
Yes, always. Yeah.
Cool, fascinating. It says there's a games room, cabaret bar, rooftop sauna, hot tubs, live music and cocktails. I'm sold. I think that sounds amazing. Anyway, I love the idea of renting a house. And there are some incredible properties on there from Norfolk to Suffolk.
Let's talk about white jeans,
because white jeans can get a bit of bad press. Here we always talk about white jeans in reference to Liz Hurley, poor Liz Hurley. But how do you make them look cool, Laura?
I think it's, well, there's the good thing now is that you can have a shaped fit most people, but you need to think about your own body and what suits you. So I think if you're quite small, you can get away with the skinny, but balance it out with something oversized. Mm-hmm. I guess the boyfriend style is what all the street stylers are doing, slightly ripped, perhaps rolled at the bottom with a Breton tee. And then I think probably if you're really tall, you can get away with the flare.
Do you think a flare, a white flare, can look cool?
Definitely. As long as you kind of are prepared to channel that, like, Chloe 70s vibe.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, Song
with
of Style.
With a floaty blouse.
Exactly. And, like, your oversized sunnies. If, like, Song of Style can do it and, you know, Man Repel is doing it, then yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Rachel's though, she'd have a furs
exactly.
Though, wouldn't she? And a boho blouse underneath. Yeah.
Exactly that. Yeah.
But they've obviously got to be the right length. That's
yes.
pretty crucial
with
the right flare.
No cropped flares.
No cropped flares and no trailing on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
So anything goes, but I think you just got to work hard to make them cooler than anything else.
Keep your edit simple.
Let's talk about smear tests, because I was pretty horrified when I saw this article that said over 1 million women in the UK last year missed their smear test, bringing the figure to a worrying 19-year low. And, I mean, to me, you just go for a smear test.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by this, actually.
Is everyone up to date?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's, what, once every 3 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
And from the age of, is it 25
in
the UK?
It's 25 now, but I think when I first had my smear test, it was 20, so
I was younger as well.
Yeah.
So from the age of 25 to 49, you're supposed to go every 3 years, and then from 49 to 64, every 5 years.
And I was also really surprised that it said that 1 in 20 women that go for a smear test will get the result of abnormal cells. I thought that was really high.
Yeah.
I think that's why they changed the age from 20 to 25, because I think between the younger you are, the cells are changing. So
right.
I think I read that it was 1 in 3 were coming back as abnormal cells.
Really?
Which is why they then changed it to 25, because I think, I don't know, does it settle down?
I think so, because abnormal cells doesn't mean cancer.
No.
And then it scares people.
It's changing.
Exactly. I remember when Tor was writing this piece, we were talking about it in the office, and loads of people said that they had friends who had abnormal results, and that they had panicked, and it's fine, you can just get them removed. But I was really surprised by the number of people who that had been affected.
Yeah. Because you just get the letter in the post, and you're like,
oh
my God,
you have precancerous cells.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But then
scary.
I always remember people on sort of morning TV going on saying, I wasn't screened until I was 25, and actually I did have cervical cancer.
Yeah.
So I think there are certain sort of warning signs, aren't they? Like they say, if you have pain in your pelvis, pain during sex, abnormal bleeding, what else do they say? Some kind of discharge, heavy periods, etc., that you should then contact your GP and have one organised. I also thought there were a few points that came out that said you should bear in mind before your screening. One of which, you shouldn't have sex 24 hours before, which I never knew. Secondly, you shouldn't use a tampon for at least two days before your appointment.
Yeah, I didn't know
that.
But I didn't think you could have it anyway.
You can't,
near your period.
You can't have a smear test during a period.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have thought, if it just finished,
2 days.
Okay,
yeah,
I can go
to
it. And also, they said, it says that speculums come in different sizes. So speculum is the tool that they use. Not very pleasant, but anyway. They come in different sizes, so you can ask for a smaller size.
Yeah, I've certainly never been told that.
That
would have
been nice.
I think people have these fears that they're these old-fashioned style metal, horrible things, but they're not like that anymore. It's much more gentle.
And it's very quick. It's not actually that scary.
No, and if you're listening and you haven't had one, just wait till you have children, because it just doesn't even come close.
Next Georgie's scary panic
over here. No, we were saying, tell them if you're scared, because then they're much more gentle. Just get them on your side, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Always, with an injection, anything. Yeah, make a fuss. I always think they go a bit easier on you. Blonde hair tips. God, I read this and thought, I'm not doing any of those things.
Me too.
But essentially, what it's saying is, if you have blonde hair or you colour your hair, that really you should be doing quite a lot of maintenance to it to keep it in tip-top condition. Does anyone use a UV protective spray?
I've never even heard of that.
But there are loads of sprays, aren't there, that you should spray onto your hair before you go in the sun. I mean, I never do. But I suppose it makes such sense, doesn't it?
I think it does. And actually, the only thing I do is choosing a purple shampoo to take the brassiness out, and that is actually heat protection. But other than that, I don't do any of these things.
Purple shampoo is supposed to be great because it cancels out. Apparently the hint of the violet can cancel out any yellow tones.
Yes.
Yes, you stay blonde, not like brassy.
How often do you use it though?
I actually probably use mine a bit too much. Three, four times a week, which I think is too much.
And do you leave it on?
No, I do one purple and then one normal shampoo.
Okay.
Really? And your colour's good?
Do you think?
Yeah.
otherwise you do end up with sort of like violet tinted hair.
Yes, I do it too much. Actually, you're only supposed to use it once a week.
Yeah, you are, but I do mine quite a lot. But I think because I'm prone to very yellow tones, that's why I do it so frequently. Whereas you, Georgie, because you've got much lighter hair, if you did that, you'd have a purple tint.
Right, I'm going to avoid. Who was that woman from Corrie? There, Betty, what's her name?
I don't know.
With the purple rinse. Wasn't there someone from Corrie with purple rinse? I'm going to stay away from purple rinse. But anyway, with the UV protection, it said that light hair contains less melanin.
Yeah.
But actually, George Northwood, which is where I have my hair done, amazing hairdresser, they rave about Pureology. And I always talk to hairdressers when I go about what the good brands are. And I think Pureology is great. So if you do want to invest in a shampoo, I think that's probably a good one. And what about hair masks? I was straightening my hair this morning and I could kind of see the split ends.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, I really should be doing something.
I'm the same. I don't use a hair mask, but I actually moan all the time about how dry my hair is, so why am I not using a hair mask?
Yeah, Living Proof. That one's supposed to be really good. You put that one about beauty boxes.
And Philip Kingsley Elasticizer is amazing.
I have heard good things about
that. Is it a mask elasticizer?
I don't know. You put it on for like 20 minutes. But what I like about it is you put it on before you shampoo, because I find masks really heavy.
And tacky as well.
Tacky, yeah. So when you then wash your, dry your hair, it feels a bit, I don't know.
Not clean.
But you do this before you shampoo, which I think is really, well, I've got fine hair, so it works much better for me.
And it's such a cult product that, that you know,
and
it must be.
I mean, it's not crazy. I mean, some of these hair products are...
Oh, I struggle with spending money. I mean, your hair. A girlfriend of mine was. So I go to George Northwood, which is not a cheap hairdresser, but I mean, he is amazing. And I had a girlfriend, she went the other day and she's like, my God, it was the best cut I've ever had. She's like, I don't think I can go anywhere else now. I was like, but if you think what you. Your hair impacts the way you look more than anything. We sort of cringe at spending however much money on a haircut, but you'll spend whatever on a facial that. Does it do that much?
Yes, that's very true.
Anyway, the only thing I really spend money on for my hair is the Oribe texturising hairspray, which is the most incredible thing, but it's like 30 quid a can, and I made the mistake of asking my husband to put it in my stocking once, and now whenever he sees me, like, on a Friday night, I get it out, and he's like, whoa, that's quite a lot of spray. You just made about £5 worth of spray onto your hair, but that's the only thing hair-related I spend money on. Let's talk about hypnotherapy, because it's something that I feel like we're hearing more and more about. It obviously has a reputation for being a bit hocus-pocus, but there are some really powerful statistics that say that it's been proven to be the most effective form of therapy in the shortest amount of time. Has anyone had hypnotherapy?
I have.
What, do you mind me asking what for?
No, I've had it, so I have done IVF twice, and I had it with both, what do you call them? Both rounds, of IVF. I saw an amazing lady called Angela McCrill, who was recommended to me by a friend who'd been through IVF, and... both of them work first time, so
Yes, Laura's got two beautiful girls.
A big, big fan.
So how? How does it work?
So I found IVF, it's damn expensive, but I found it really more of a mental game than a physical game, and she just kept my brain calm. And I was a bit sceptical before I went. I'm not sure this is for me. But a few sessions, and it did take me a while. The first time I kind of fought it a bit, because I was like, what are you going to turn me into? But you don't lose it. You're aware of where you are, and...
Yeah, they say it's a bit like the state you go into, apparently, is a bit like the state you're in when you're just daydreaming.
Yes.
You're sort of conscious, but you're just in this...
It's a bit like mindfulness, but when you're sort of in this relaxed state, as they say, somebody's talking to you, and I think trying to alter your unconscious state of mind.
And so I imagine somebody you know with like a clock swimming in front of your face. Like, how does it actually work?
With her, I go in and I chat to her. I tell her my worries. We'd probably chat for maybe 25 minutes, and then she'd sort of make sure that I was comfortable. And then it's weird because she's sort of, you know, she's like, listen to your surroundings, but then she'll...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Count you down from 10, and then she just sort of changes her voice a bit. It becomes a bit.
And does she say, "You will accept the power of IVM"?
No.
You will. But you does talk she... about the specific yes. fear. So you talked about
yes.
IVF while you're in there. Do you talk about your fear of flying when you're in there? Or
yeah, no, for sure. So she'll talk about what you've been saying, but I guess she gives you ways to manage it. So for me, one of the things that really worked was she gave me loads of colours to think about. And one weird one was when I had the embryos put back in, she told me just to imagine that a taxi was picking them up and taking them to where they needed to be. So I didn't have to do anything. It would just happen. The taxi was paid for. It was going to take them from A to B. Really weird, but it worked. Because when I had them put back in, I went out for lunch and I was like, well, they're in their taxi. I'm just going to go on my lunch.
They're in their taxi. I love it. So ultimately, you have to suspend your scepticism and I think it's fascinating.
Just relax into it. I think don't be too scared that, as you say, it is hocus pocus, because you're not going to dance around like a chicken like Paul McKenna says.
Yeah. It says here that it's actually a form of meditation used to examine why you're feeling the way you are and to try and remove those feelings of fear or worry or whatever they are. I mean, I think amazing. I need to try it. Try and cure my fear of flying and snakes. So Tor wrote a piece on cult bronzers, and, well, I'd say the warmer weather is finally here. It's not quite, but hopefully it won't be long. What bronzers does everyone use?
So I use the Bobbi Brown Shimmer Brick, which is actually on this list, but I use it more as a highlighter, but maybe that's more about how I apply my makeup. But I use it along with MAC Golden Bronzer as well, which is my, like, ride or die. That's what I've been using for years. Yeah, I always use it. Golden Bronzer.
Right.
So it's just their compact. No, it's not
shimmer,
it's matte. And then I use the Shimmer Brick to, like, highlight nose.
Which is interesting because I've only ever used one bronzer at a time, and I use the NARS Laguna, which is, you know, one of the bronzers that everyone swears by. And Tor gave me an hourglass, one of those sort of marbleized half highlighter, half bronzing. She said, well, you should use that with your NARS Laguna. I was like, oh, God, that's a bit of a faff. But clearly, you need to use two.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm, like, you know, pinnacle makeup of makeup queen. But yeah, exactly. You know, I use both. And I think, because I think they can serve different purposes.
Yeah.
Particularly something matte and something shimmer.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I think you use the matte for the defining, and then the shimmer's the highlight on top,
yes,
gives you that glow.
Mm-hmm. So what do you use?
So I actually use a Bobbi Brown bronzing, it's called, and that is just matte. It's probably a rival for your MAC one.
Yes.
And then I use the Shimmer Brick, but in rose on top.
Oh, so it's all about the double then. Mm-hmm. Nora, what about you?
I use the Chanel, which is more, it's weird, it's kind of got a cream texture, but you still use it with a brush.
Mm.
And I love it. I know it's one of their best sellers, and I've used it for years.
I feel like I can picture it.
Yeah, it's sort of quite a big pot with a big black lid.
Yes.
I know it as well, actually.
And it's a bronzer, yeah.
I love it. I've actually just bought it for my sister's birthday, and she was like, this is amazing.
Really? Hideously expensive.
But lasts a long time. It doesn't smash.
I just smashed my NARS Laguna. I was like, this is 30 quid. Discerning fans of Parisian fashion will know Inès de Lafressange, who is famously, she was a muse of Karl Lagerfeld, a model and designer, and she wrote the book Parisian Chic, which is sort of one of those coffee table staples, isn't it?
Definitely.
And she's got a new book out, Parisian Chic Lookbook, What I Should Wear Today, which documents perfect outfits for every occasion, and also has all her rules for making an everyday outfit a bit cooler.
Yeah, exactly. She's kind of made a list at the back of the book of really simple hacks for kind of transforming you know, your everyday look, and a lot of them are kind of cool pairings that just make things that bit more interesting. So, you know, a lot of them are essentially how to balance something cool and a bit tougher with something a little bit more girly. But
so give us some of the pairings.
So some of them are like, some of them are just tips. So they're like, buy clothes in the men's department.
I love that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just the androgyny trend. We all know that. But
I'm not sure you need to, but it's just that frame of mind.
Exactly. A pair of straw bag with an evening dress. You know, we've seen so many of the street style stars wearing a straw bag as a kind of, you know, everyday thing. People aren't saving it for the beach anymore. So great, you know, that's a really cool way of switching up your evening look. Roll the hem of your jeans and add heels. Again, pretty simple, but just a kind of cool thing to know to add something extra. And sport a motorcycle jacket with a chiffon dress. That's one of my favourites.
Yeah,
me too. Because it's actually something you can wear day or night. Like, it's cool for a wedding if you've got a really pretty floral maxi to kind of throw a leather jacket on top. Or
some
actually
trainers.
Yeah, exactly, to work.
And get a bit more money out of your evening wear as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely, yeah. I think it's all about working the bits you already have in your wardrobe and just making everything that bit more stylized, I guess.
And I guess, you know, what she says... Yeah, the ultimate rule of what she says is, yeah, take something feminine and add something tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just don't overdo it. I mean, the French just don't like it to look too head to toe.
Too done.
Okay. Our favourite rule of take one thing off before you...
Take one thing off. And Lulu de Saison, who is an amazing...
Oh, I laughed when you sent me that.
Yeah, I mean, she spoke at our fashion day and she said, the French, we think the Hollywood... What did she say?
The Oscars.
She said, French people think that the Oscars is like Halloween. Amazing. We think it is hilarious.
Yeah.
I just thought that was so funny. She's like, the idea that you'd wear this, you know, Oscar Laurenti ball gown with these kind of chopard jewels and then your hair done like a princess, they think is just completely ridiculous.
It was all about the beauty look, wasn't it? And how not to wear too much makeup and your hair done and the whole look.
Yeah.
So if you want to take one thing away from that French aesthetic, I think it's that, to do one or the other.
Yeah. Actually, talking about style rules... We did a piece on the one-to-one rule.
Yes.
And actually, I was going through the file with Astrid, and I was like, oh, what's that, the one-to-one rule? And I opened the file, and the one-to-one rule is, Charlotte...
The one-to-one rule is wearing two colours, and colour number one on your top half and your very bottom half, so matching your top half to your shoes, and then wearing another colour in between to break them up. So it's kind of a sandwich.
Which is basically what I do every day. I mean, I'm doing, you know, I didn't know I was doing the one-to-one rule.
Yeah.
For me, it's kind of obvious, but I think it's really...
But it could sound a bit twee. It could sound a bit matchy-matchy.
Right. So the idea is not to wear pink shoes with a pink top, you know, with like a green floral skirt. That's not the point. The point is... You know, we all have those mornings when you're standing in front of your wardrobe, you have no idea kind of how to throw together something easy and chic. So it's just about block colouring, and this is a really simple formula for making that work.
And I think if you want an outfit that is cohesive and a look that is pulled together, and you're not that confident, it is just a really good sort of quick rule to check with yourself before you leave the house in the morning. Hay fever. I didn't realise that 1 in 5 Brits suffers from hay fever. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yes.
Us poor sufferers.
My
husband, I woke up in the night the other day and my husband was just having a sort of sneezing attack in his sleep. I was like, oh my God, wake up, take another pill. But are there any natural remedies? I mean, this piece, actually what I thought was interesting about this piece is how it references the gut and how, you know, 70% of the immune system is in our digestive tract, in our gut. And I mean, we talk about the gut so much now, we talk about leaky gut, but it really does impact everything, including hay fever.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a really interesting article, and it sort of said certain foods you should avoid, things like staying hydrated, having a healthy gut, managing your stress levels. Charlotte, does that work?
Personally, look, I think you're either a hay fever sufferer or not. I'm sure that doing those things can really help. But I have found the magic cure. I'm here to spread the gospel. It's all about Pyrenees, the nasal spray. When I say I spent, you know, 20-something years of my life genuinely really suffering in winter, and I, you know, really did try everything, apart from prescription pills, which I know do exist. But if you're looking for something that is, you know, on the counter, then Pyrenees isn't... It's honestly miraculous.
Is it the same family as Pyrazine?
So it's from Pyraton, exactly. Right. And it's a nasal spray, and you just use it once in the morning, and I'm off Claritin, my life is good again. Like, seriously, it is a miracle cure.
And is it something you can use long term? Because it says here that it can induce...
I've been told off a bit by everybody else in the office for the long term use of nasal spray, but honestly, I don't care.
Do you do it every day, or do you do
only
it...
Only when the pollen count's high. So if it's summer, and it's... Yeah, like, I went and stocked up because I knew it was... Because it turned, like, the 1st of April or something. It was coming, exactly. But seriously, it's an unbelievable product.
So here at Shitlocks, we're very aware that not all of our readers live in London, and I would just say that we do hear you, and we are trying to broaden the reach of our lifestyle content. We ran a piece on the UK's hottest new restaurant openings, and it features restaurants from Brighton to Nottingham, Leeds, Oxfordshire, where artist residents have opened their 4th site. They have one in Pimlico, Newquay,
Brighton,
and a new one opening in Oxfordshire, and it's run by a really cool couple. He took over a guest house that was his mum's when he was at university. His then girlfriend, now wife, joined him, and their story's really amazing. They sort of couldn't afford to have a cook, so he did breakfast in a bag at the beginning, and they lived in the building site in Newquay when it was being done on a damp mattress. And yeah, they're a cool couple, and I really hope they're hugely successful. And this one's supposed to be great.
Yeah, and nice to have something kind of in the Cotswolds region that's a little bit more affordable than your Soho farmhouses and Wild Rabbits and everything else.
Exactly. And actually, on that note of having something more affordable, Danny recently reviewed Belle and the Dragon, which I think's another really interesting concept. You know, we'd all love to go to Soho farmhouse for the night, but you're looking at sort of £400. Mm-hmm. Whereas Belle and the Dragon starts at, I think, £115 a night. There are several of them, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a few. I'm not sure exactly how many they are, but they're all kind of just outside of London, within reach. And they're just so lovely. I stayed at the one in Chert, and the design is really cool. It's kind of Farran Ball colours with, like, antique furniture, and it's
cozy and homely.
Cozy and homely, quite Soho farmhouse, but perhaps, you know, just a bit more
rustic.
Yeah, I guess so.
And it's all about sort of, you know, nice, hearty, locally sourced food, and they have apparently great little touches, like, you know, a little bottle of Sipsmith gin, slow gin in your room.
Yes, and when I went, there was sort of a gin and tonics tray outside all the bedrooms, so people could go and help themselves.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Isn't that fab? And I just think, really refreshing that you can go somewhere nice and that's not cheap because it's tired and old, but somewhere that's new, that's actually creating a product for a market.
Completely.
That's still nice.
Yeah, felt really nice. Beautifully clean, beautiful food, like, really, really recommend.
And they see 2-night weekend rates from £200, £115 a night. Some of them have live music, wine tastings. So there are lots of reasons to go. So check it out, Belle and the Dragon. So let's talk about dress codes, because one of the things we're emailed in the most and asked about by our readers is what to wear to certain events. So who better to ask than to Brett's to help us determine what's the form. I was amused to see that there's a white tie section here. I mean, I think I've seen one white tie event in my entire life.
So, to me, I associate white tie with, you know, like, a livery dinner. But I have a white tie wedding this year. And it's not, you know, it's not like royalty, you know, it's just some friends. But I think even they were really shocked to find out these rules, which are, you know, that you need long gloves. I have married friends who are supposed to be in tiaras. So,
yes, you're only supposed to wear a tiara if you're a married woman, apparently.
Exactly. So, luckily, Maya and I can hang ours up for the time being. But yeah, I mean, it's totally...
Take your finger... It says gloves should be removed finger by finger and rested on the lap, under, not over the napkin.
But I also thought it was really interesting that it's traditional to show décolletage in white tie, which seems a bit counterintuitive given that it's so conservative. But anyway...
But it's so full length, isn't it? Yeah. And then it's all about
the collarbone.
Yeah, that's your only bit. That's what you tease them with, isn't it? Décolletage. Anyway, black tie, fairly self-explanatory. But I think the races, the one we were asked the most is what to wear to the races. I mean, sort of, God, anything goes if you're going to Aintree. But, I mean, the Royal Enclosure at Ascot is the one with the strict dress code. Dresses and skirts should fall just above the knee or longer. Trouser suits are welcome. And I was interested to see if you can now wear a jumpsuit this year.
So you can wear strappy shoulder exposing tops as long as your straps are a certain thickness. So no spaghetti straps, but as long as they're a couple of inches wide, okay, then you can get away with that.
And hats should be worn, however, a headpiece which has a solid base of 4 inches, 10 centimetres or more in diameter is acceptable as an alternative to a hat.
I want to know who's going around measuring everyone's hats.
Yes, anyway, now you know if you're off to Ascot, those are the rules. Let's finish on some Netflix. I've just finished O.J. Simpson versus the People. I'm a bit late to the party.
Very late to the party.
So good.
It was really good.
What an amazing, amazing series. Yeah. I was just sort of horrified to watch it. I was 14 when it happened. And I remember the verdict coming out and being quite shocked. But you just watch it again, you just can't believe he just got away with murder.
Yeah,
it's amazing, and amazingly cast as well.
Oh, isn't it? We were sort of googling everyone going, I mean, that is the judge. Yeah. And they look identical. Anyway, I so recommend it if you're as late to the party as I am. Anyway, now I've finished that, what next? I've watched everything else.
I am watching The Get Down. I've seen the first series. Part 2's just come out. If you love Moulin Rouge, Romeo and Juliet, musicals, anything by Baz Luhrmann, then you're going
to
love it.
Yes, okay. And that's a real kind of genre, isn't it? Also, yeah. He's got a real style to his work.
Yeah.
And what's it about?
It's about this journey of this group of teenagers in the Bronx, just as New York is on the verge of bankruptcy, and they emerge this new hip-hop culture. And it's just feel-good, sing along to all the songs. It's not really. Has it got a plot?
Sing along to the songs.
Yes,
wrong.
Sorry.
Hip hop doesn't really like go hand in hand.
Just rap along.
Sorry.
Mary Poppins in the Bronx. Anyway, it's good.
It's really good. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I've been watching Girl Boss.
Yeah.
Me too.
Which was created by the Pitch Perfect writer and is about Sophia Amoruso, who founded Nasty Girl,
yeah,
which is, you know, a massive
Nasty Girl,
which is a massive kind of e-commerce site which has been huge in the States,
but also a book. So Girl Boss was a book,
right? So she's obviously kind of one of, you know, like a really impressive entrepreneur, female entrepreneur at that. So she's kind of had quite a lot of coverage around her, and particularly her book. I mean, it's not a great series. It's...
Do you not think? Because I feel like everyone's talking about it, and everyone was talking about it here, and I thought I'd better watch it.
Right up my street.
I mean, it's a bit silly. It's in the kind of Kimmy Schmidt. It wasn't in Kimmy Schmidt.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, I think it's that silly.
I don't think it's like Kimmy Schmidt.
I think if I read the book Girl Boss, and it didn't really give me what I wanted, I was reading it as a sort of business owner wanting tips, wanting, you know, her story, and I was inspired, and I wouldn't say she's got there by luck, but not by conventional methods. I mean, when she's looking for a name for her business, she goes on an all-day bender and then ends up in a club and there's some tranny singing a Betty Davis song or something. You know, it's not normally how most people come up with the name of a brand, but it's quite entertaining.
And that makes for a good TV show as well. So, it's
fun.
It's
young,
it's
lighthearted. I think.
It is young.
That is exactly what the TV show is, what you've just described.
Yeah, yes, exactly that. But I think it is good if you're... It's probably pitched at, like, 20-something, you know, the kind of millennial-type audience who feel, you know, that they don't really know kind of what they're looking for, how to kind of fit into the conventional job market.
Yeah.
And I suppose in that way it's quite inspiring because it shows that there's a different path.
Yeah, and there's very much a different path these days, isn't there? The other thing, Laura, you were talking about Dr. Foster. What is that?
Dr. Foster, I watched it. It was on the BBC, like, I don't know.
It was last year.
You would love it.
Working.
You'll watch it in, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
Right.
You should watch it. You'd love it.
And what's it about?
It's about... God, I'm really going to have to wrap my brains here, but it's about this woman who finds out that her husband is having an affair and how she goes about...
She's very, I don't know what the word is. She manipulates the situation,
yes,
doesn't she?
And it's Saran Jones, who was in Courage.
Yes.
Yeah,
but she's good.
Is she?
Yeah.
And I mean, nothing against Saran Jones, but, you know, so often you're pulled in, aren't you, by the lead.
Yeah.
Yes.
To me, she...
You have to watch it to understand it. It is seriously gripping.
It was really popular, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really gripping, and I think you said Astrid said they were making a second series, which is super exciting.
Apparently so, I'm totally going to watch that. So that's it this week. If you have any comments, feedback or questions, then do please email podcast@sheerlarks.com. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.